CliffCentral.com.
Yo! Yo, 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 yo.
Yo, everybody here?
That is not the gentle start that I prefer.
Oh, okay. All right, let me try that again. Good morning, everybody.
Much better.
Is that better? You like that more?
Yes.
All right. Wow, we got a lot to talk about today. The Hillary-Donald debate took place on CNN at about 3 o'clock this morning. Guess who was up watching it live?
Oh, look at you.
Well, I caught a little bit of it. And then
okay.
I was tired and went back to sleep. But I did try. And you know who the only other person who was awake? Randall Abrahams.
Oh, were you guys messaging each other?
We were messaging each other. Like, oh, can you believe what Hillary's wearing? Oh, Donald's definitely lost this one.
Oh,
that kind of thing.
My.
So you see, we don't just talk about singers.
I sort of caught the back end when they were asking, was his face orange, Donald, out went. And he was like, you know, I really showed great restraint in not mentioning Bill Clinton's indiscretions because I really respect Chelsea.
Oh, please,
like,
Donald. How many women have you cheated
you?
On, you scumbag?
But that is such a low...
What a piece
of shit. You go there.
Oh,
it's like I'm proud of the restraint that I showed in being a petty little bitch. Is basically what he said.
Yeah, I deserve kudos for being a decent human being.
Wrong with you?
Give me a chocolate milk.
Wrong
I was
with y'all?
A good boy today.
You niggas are crazy.
Oh, I did.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's also, you know, when people say. I think I'm the bigger person for not mentioning XYZ. You are mentioning XYZ in that moment.
Exactly.
We're not stupid.
Well, hang on a second.
We're not, but I mean,
a lot of people are. I'm not saying you are, Mubs. You give us the news every morning. You can't be stupid. But a lot of people are saying some very funny stuff about how Lester Holt, the moderator in the debate, he just went missing.
What?
Well, he didn't say anything. He didn't interrupt them.
Oh.
He didn't fact check anybody. Donald was talking nonsense about things that are clearly nonsense. Like, for example, he said, I was always against the war in Iraq. And I proved it in Sean Hannity. And then people on the internet were saying, no, you didn't. Even Sean Hannity says you didn't. And trust me, if anyone's going to have something to say about you, it's going to be Sean Hannity. He supports Trump. It's so weird. You know, they say this is the most watched political television event ever. And obviously it's because the population's greater than it's ever been. And it's also partly because these two are so different to any previous political candidates that have ever run for president. But it's fascinating. I'm just very interested. We'll talk about the outfits in a moment or two. Because we've got to get into that. We actually got it wrong yesterday.
We got it completely wrong with Donald's tie.
Donald's tie was blue and Hillary's pantsuit was red.
Sure.
So they swapped colors.
Yeah.
Just in case you thought you understood, you didn't understand a damn thing.
No, who are we? We don't know anything.
You don't know
nothing. They're in on it together.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
They probably ended up going in the same car and they're making out like old smutty people.
But let me ask you this. Do you think if Donald saw Hillary was wearing red that he had a blue tie just on standby, and that if Hillary saw that Donald was wearing a red tie she was going to wear blue just in case?
I mean, for Donald it would be an easier thing for him to quickly switch ties, right?
But
Hillary,
she'd have to get out of the whole pantsuit.
And it would just seem awkward if you are seen arriving in blue and then you appear on stage in red. That people would make a big deal out of that.
Well, it's all amazing. I just find the whole thing really, really interesting. Hey, Flaxy, can you do me a favor? I don't know what's going on with the screen over here. I need to be able to see the messages to screen. Okay, so there are a couple of ways you can get hold of us every morning. Let me just reiterate for those people who are new to the picture. You know, we're here live every morning for 3 hours. We get to talk to you. You get to call in 0861-555-189. You get to message us on the Touch Central app, which is direct message to the screen in front of me. That's what we're trying to figure out now. And if you don't like that, you want to try WeChat on Cliff Central, you can still do that. We still get a lot of messages from people on there. You can also tweet us. So it's all there. and we'd love to hear from you this morning. And somebody said, I didn't enjoy that debate at all. What a shit show. I thought staying up till 4 a.m. to watch Mayweather versus Pacquiao was a waste of time. All right. Some people did not enjoy it, clearly. And we are here to look after you this morning on Touch Central and Cliff Central. We also got an interesting guest popping by later on. I've been waiting to get her into the studio for the longest time. Marianne Tam, who is a writer and a journalist, occasionally a comedian. She's very funny. She's written a book called Hitler, Verwoerd, Mandela, and Me. It's a hell of a title, huh?
That will definitely grab your attention on the bookshelf.
Yeah. So she talks about her German father. She talks about South Africa. Of course, she is the most interesting woman because she's an outspoken feminist icon. She's a gay lady. She's adopted kids. She's just the most incredibly interesting woman. None of the labels that you would expect to apply with Marianne. And she says that she's proudly now more than halfway to 100 and loving it. That's what she says. So we'll check in on her story, which I think will be very, very interesting. She's also a great commentator. She writes for the Daily Maverick, among other things. So you may have read many of her columns. And she's had quite a lot to say lately about what's going on in our own politics. So we could ask her about Hillary. We could ask her about Jacob Zuma. We could ask her about all of that stuff. And she'll have some very interesting insights. So I'm looking at Twitter. A couple of people are fact-checking Donald. A lot of people are saying that Holt was really terrible in choosing questions. Trump rambled nonsensically about policy and it was really bad to behold. Hillary Clinton tried to paint Donald Trump as a man without a plan and that worked.
Well, by just saying, that's Donald Trump, I'm pretty sure she could have done it.
Yeah. He doesn't really have a plan. You kind of get the feeling that, oh my God, he's in so deep, he just has to see it through now.
Ladies and gentlemen, the star of The Apprentice. Okay, that's enough. Really.
Exactly, right?
But did you also notice when he came off
stage?
Here's
the former Secretary of State, former First Lady, Senator for New York, and over here, The Apprentice's star. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So another thing that he keeps saying is the whole Make America Great Again, because it appeals to those nostalgic racists.
Yeah.
His new thing he's saying is Hillary isn't going to make America great again.
So is that
he's
it?
So he's thinking his line is so good, he's actually tarnishing his opponent with this stupid line.
Yeah, and he said, by the way, that ISIS, she tells you how to fight ISIS on your website. It's amazing. She just deflected a lot of the stuff. I think widely the point that all columnists, all analysts on all sides of this debate have made is that it looks like Hillary won it fair and square. The first debate goes to her. You want to hear Hillary throwing the first punch?
Sure.
All right. Here, let's go into some of this while we're playing around. By the way, if you don't care about this at all, tell me about it. I need to... you're my barometer. If you don't care about Hillary and Donald, then tell me.
Can I tell you why you must care about it?
Yeah.
Because you shouldn't trust politicians. These people must be held accountable for their crap. And that's why you must care about it.
Right. Thank you, Ben, giving us some perspective.
Companies and our jobs.
Secretary Clinton, would you like to respond?
Well, I think that trade is an important issue. Of course, we are 5% of the world's population. We have to trade with the other 95%. And we need to have smart, fair trade deals. We also, though, need to have a tax system that rewards work and not just financial transactions. And the kind of plan that Donald has put forth would be trickle-down economics all over again. In fact, it would be the most extreme version, the biggest tax cuts for the top percents of the people in this country than we've ever had. I call it trumped up trickle down because that's exactly what it would be. That is not how we grow the economy. We just have a different view about what's best for growing the economy, how we make investments that will actually produce jobs and rising incomes. I think we come at it from somewhat different perspectives. I understand that. You know, Donald was very fortunate in his life, and that's all to his benefit. He started his business with $14 million borrowed from his father, and he really believes that the more you help wealthy people, the better off we'll be, and that everything will work out from there. I don't buy that.
Now, that hits Donald hard, because he hates the fact that that he's viewed by many people as just being another privileged white guy who really didn't have to work that hard. All he had to do was improve ever so slightly on what his father left him. And actually, in relative terms, a lot of people saying he didn't. He's actually made less money than he should have if he just put all the money his dad gave him into an interest-bearing account. He would have been richer today.
Well, how many times has he been bankrupt?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's also complicated too. Who knows? But the fact is, like, Hillary knows this is his Achilles heel and she goes straight for it.
I have a different experience. My father was a small businessman. He worked really hard. He printed drapery fabrics on long tables where he pulled out those fabrics and he went down with a silk screen and dumped the paint in and took the squeegee and kept going. And so what I believe is the more we can do for the middle class, the more we can invest in you, your education, your skills, your future, the better we will be off and the better we'll grow. That's the kind of economy I want us to see again.
How's that? So she throws the first punch, and then Donald immediately picks up on that, and he has something to say. He talks about tax cuts for the wealthy and says, no, we've got to do that. He explains why.
Well, I'm really calling for major jobs because the wealthy are going to create tremendous jobs. They're going to expand their companies. They're going to do a tremendous job. Tremendous. I'm getting rid of the carried interest provision. And if you really look, it's not a tax. It's really not a great thing for the wealthy. It's a great thing for middle class. It's a great thing for companies to expand. And when these people are going to put billions and billions of dollars into companies, and when they're going to bring $2.5 trillion back from overseas where they can't bring the money back because politicians like Secretary Clinton won't allow them to bring the money back because the taxes are so onerous and the bureaucratic red tape so what they're doing is they're leaving our country, and they're, believe it or not, leaving because taxes are too high and because some of them have lots of money outside of our country, and instead of bringing it back and putting the money to work because they can't work out a deal to, and everybody agrees it should be brought back. Instead of that, they're leaving our country to get their money because they can't bring their money back into our country.
Has he lost you? Kind of lost me.
He had half a point that she made into 4 points.
See, Hillary did something smart there. She talked about her business. She first of all talked about Donald inheriting this money from his dad, which paints him a certain way. And then she talks about her dad working really hard late at night, silk screening these fabrics on a table. That's clever because there's storytelling. Donald's talking about moving money here, you move money there, you can't bring money in, you can't take money out. Secretary Clinton's a politician, blah, blah, blah. You get distracted. And I'm sorry, people are dumb. They're not going to pay attention for as long as this. And Donald is the guy who's done this so well so far in the campaign.
But what I also picked up in that last clip, Donald is kind of bulldozing his way through his point. You know, he's speaking too fast. It's almost as if he's stumbling, whereas Hillary was pacing herself and she took her time and she enunciates to get her point across.
Right.
She was efficient, whereas also Donald was, I mean, who's got problems of money going out of the country? Like, most people's money's in the country.
Only rich people. Only rich people have the problem.
People going, money leaving the country? What the hell's that?
I don't understand.
Your money going on holiday?
I have my money in a tin back at home.
Yeah.
What money?
Who sends money overseas? What is this?
Let's not assume that trade is the only challenge we have in the economy. I think it is a part of it, and I've said what I'm going to do. I'm going to have a special prosecutor. We're going to enforce the trade deals we have, and we're going to hold people accountable. When I was Secretary of State, we actually increased American exports globally 30%. We increased them to China 50%. So I know how to really work to get new jobs and to get exports that help to create more new jobs.
Eric, well, you haven't done it in 30 years or 26 years.
Well, I've been a senator.
You haven't done it.
And I have been a Secretary of State, and I have.
Your husband signed NAFTA, which was one of the worst things that ever happened to the manufacturing industry.
That is your opinion.
You go to New England, you go to Ohio, Pennsylvania, you go anywhere you want, Secretary Clinton, and you will see devastation where manufacturers down.
He calls us Secretary Clinton, not Crooked Hillary. That's a good thing, right? There's some civility, at least.
It's because he watched the Zach Galifianakis thing.
But let's just watch this and see where it ends up, because this is the first proper fight.
Where manufacturers down 30, 40, sometimes 50%. NAFTA is the worst trade deal maybe ever signed anywhere, but certainly ever signed in this country. And now You want to approve Trans-Pacific Partnership. You were totally in favor of it. Then you heard what I was saying, how bad it is, and you said, I can't win that debate. But you know that if you did win, you would approve that, and that will be almost as bad as NAFTA. Nothing will ever top NAFTA.
That is just not accurate. I was against it once it was finally negotiated and the terms were laid out. I wrote about that in...
You called it the gold standard.
You called it
the gold standard of trade deals. You said it's the finest deal you've ever seen.
No.
And then you heard what I said about it, and all of a sudden you were against it.
Well, Donald, I know you live in your own reality, but that is not the facts. The facts are, I did say, I hoped it would be a good deal, but when it was negotiated, which I was not responsible for, I concluded it wasn't. I wrote about that.
So is it President Obama's fault? Is it President Obama's fault?
Before you even announced. Look, there are
Secretary, is it President Obama's fault?
There are different.
Because he's pushing it.
There are different views about what's good for our country, our economy, and our leadership in the world. And I think it's important to look at what we need to do to get the economy going again. That's why I said new jobs with rising incomes, investments, not in more tax cuts that would add $5 trillion to the debt.
But you have no plan.
Oh, I do.
Secretary, you have no plan.
A book about it. It's called Stronger Together. You can pick it up tomorrow.
That's about all you...
Oh, wow. All right, started getting fun there, right? That's a little bit of to and fro. And Donald wasn't completely effete. He managed to put up a good fight. Oh, wow. Well, here's some interesting stats coming through now. CNN says, of course, CNN people are saying very biased. Who won? Per CNN's poll, Debate Watchers, Clinton 62%, Trump 27%.
CNN as biased as Fox News.
Wow.
Because, you know.
I mean, Fox News.
Who's
let's see.
More biased?
Yeah, let's see what Fox News says. Do you want to know?
Yeah, sure.
All right, Fox News polls. Gingrich says this is a very big win for him. That's Donald. The entire Clinton case that he's incapable of being president died somewhere on that stage.
Okay, there you go.
Donald Trump himself says the following. Do you want to hear what he said just after the debate?
I did very well. I did tremendously well.
I did really well.
Mr. Trump.
I thought it was a very fair debate.
Sorry, Mr. Trump, what are you doing in the spin room?
Were you tempted to bring up an element in the spin room?
What are you doing?
The polls are all saying we won.
The polls are all saying we won, he says. Predictably.
And then this woman goes, yeah, but you can't trust the polls. And he goes, look, the polls are tremendous. They've been saying tremendous things about me from the start. He actually said that.
Yeah. He did speak to Sean Hannity of Fox News. He said the following to him.
She took and used the word super predator of young black men. And I think it's a terrible term. And they don't like it. And it's, I mean, people, I guess, maybe they forget, maybe they don't forget.
So apparently Hillary used the term super predator to describe what's going on in those riots in North Carolina, among other things, which will, you know, get some of the Black Lives Matter crew a little bit upset about what she's saying. But then a lot of people saying the Black Lives Matter crew is a tiny, tiny, tiny percentage of a tiny percentage of a group. And many, many black people in America do not like or support Black Lives Matter at all. So who knows? He says he felt great moments after the first presidential campaign and debate with Hillary Clinton. That's Donald in his blue tie. All right, so...
What do the colors mean again? Because I forget.
Like, red is traditionally... And remember we had that expert in here a while ago. First of all, let's just ask Flax what he thought of the outfits, because he's bound to have some opinions on this. And we haven't spoken to him yet this morning. Hey, Flaxy, how are you this morning?
I legit didn't even watch the debate. Yeah. I assume Hillary was wearing red for like fierceness and Donald was wearing blue because he's so outraged, so he needs the blue to calm him. Am I right or am I wrong?
You know, you could be closer to the truth than you think. That's probably not a bad assessment. Usually red represents a little bit of aggression. Red is strong. It's the color of war, all of that stuff. Politicians always either go for red or blue in America, in France, in England. Those are the colors of their flags, right?
Mm.
If you're wearing red, your opponent wears blue. If you're wearing blue, your opponent wears red. That's why I'm trying to figure out who would have chosen their outfit first and who would have gone along with it. And the smart money is probably on Hillary choosing red and Donald then going with a blue tie.
I think to deal with Donald's like rage and his outbursts, you'd have to wear something red, something fierce,
yeah,
something that says like "Came for war."
Right. All right. Well, we'll take your calls. 0861-555-189. Let us know what you think. This is interesting stuff. Love it. I could talk about this all day, but I won't bore you. You tell me what you want to talk about. There is other stuff in the news we got to get to. Touch Central, cliffcentral.com. Yeah.
Maybe it was all too much for a man to take. Everything's bound to break sooner or later, sooner.
Ben reckons this song is Madonna's offer to help out young Venezuelan men in exchange for sex.
I'm yeah. sorry? What?
Because you know she basically just farms sex out of that continent. So she, like she wasn't at the VMAs recently.
South American men are her main yeah, prey.
That's her thing.
Yeah, she's a super predator.
I mean, because you know she's 307 years old, right?
Okay.
So she just sucks on their souls. She's yeah. always had these South American young
men. So what does she offer them? When it all falls, when it all falls down, like your economy.
Yeah, listen to that song again. She's basically, it's a plea to all Venezuelan men. Okay. I mean, she was in that Evita movie, right?
Right. Yes, yes.
That was the first time we really knew she was after the South American.
Right. Year. I mean, who else would play Evita Perón? Eva Perón.
Yeah, because there were a lot of people who weren't happy at the choice for Madonna right. to play that role.
Yeah, but she bulldozed her way in there.
Yeah, she probably did.
Just grabbing any cock she could get just to get through the door. Like, right, I'm here, South America.
All right, I'm available. Who's in? And then she says, I'll bring you a roll of toilet paper. I'll fly in. We can have sex. And then you can keep the toilet paper and I'll yeah. go back home.
She's like an aid worker, but yeah, just a little bit more cutthroat.
All right. We got to get into news. So let's see what's happening in the headlines. Here's Mabale Moloi with the latest in the news. And we're going to find out later on from Ben what's going on in sport. We'll talk to Anthea about what's going on in the money. And your thoughts on the presidential election in America, if you watched it or if you're about to watch it or you recorded it for later or you just don't care. I mean, whatever your point of view is here, I want to hear it. So here's Mubs with the latest.
Okay, well, while the Americans do their thing, let's focus our attention on one of the stories grabbing headlines and has been grabbing headlines for a few weeks now, Gareth, the student protests. Let's quickly check in on the status regarding individual campuses. We'll begin at Wits University, uh-huh. where the campus say that they're now going to run a poll which will allow students and staff to voice their opinion on whether lectures should resume next week or not. Let me remind you that a lot of the tertiary institutions are not functioning this week. Lectures are not going on, which is a big problem, okay? According to the university spokesperson, Sharona Patel, they have received hundreds of emails calling for the academic program to resume. Patel also said that they're requesting the IEC to oversee the polling process in order to verify its results independently. And then yesterday afternoon, it emerged that one of the workers contracted to the university had died on the campus during the student protests. According to reports, a worker died after students released a fire extinguisher in one of the buildings. WITS management said that the cause of death is still yet to be determined.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if these students, they don't care about anyone else.
The worker was rushed to the campus health and wellness center and taken to hospital where they were treated for a few days. And then when they were discharged from hospital, they went home and then later died. Now, students turned the protesting down yesterday for a bit and had a moment of silence. And then, according to university management, students are apparently already reviewing the efficacy of their strategies. Then at UCT, they announced yesterday that they are canceling their graduation ceremonies. They will remain shut for the remainder of the week, and there will be no graduation ceremonies taking place this year, according to the Vice Chancellor, Max Price.
Wow.
That was announced yesterday afternoon. And then over at University of KwaZulu-Natal, one of the student leaders emerged saying that their protest has definitely been hijacked by non-students. So again, this issue of the movement has been taken over by, I don't know.
Yeah, but that sounds like an excuse. I mean, surely campus security can keep people off the campus if they're not students. And if the students are bringing people in, or if they themselves aren't the ones causing the violence, then how did these people not, How do they get onto the campus?
Look,
is there just a place you go to rent, like arsonists?
No, I don't think...
is there a building you can knock on the door? Hi, I'm looking for a couple of arsonists and some vandals, please.
I honestly don't believe that there's a lot of faith that's placed on campus security. I mean, there were allegations of campus security officials attacking and raping some students in some campuses around the country.
Well,
basically, what's happened here is that this movement has gotten completely out of control, and something needs to now change. Lectures have been suspended across most campuses for far too long. What happens next should be everybody's focus.
Right.
Everybody, including Minister Bladen Zamande, including chancellors and vice chancellors, including students, including parents. I mean, can you imagine if you're the parent of a student and you know, you get the news yesterday that UCT are cancelling graduation ceremonies? I mean, all that money that you've been forking out. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
the focus now needs to be united.
Apparently, WITS student leaders have approached COSATU and other trade unions in an attempt to get support to stage a national shutdown. WITS University SRC President Gefense Mkari has warned that they'll render the country ungovernable. Now, surely that is treason of a kind. And if you are saying things like, oh, we want to render the country, in other words, put everybody else, we represent 0.0001% of the total population of South Africa, and we're going to make the whole country ungovernable because you won't give us education for free, that means you should go to jail. Full stop. No need for a debate. Get him into jail. I'm sorry, if the WITS SRC president says that, and it's clearly been taken down. This was at the University's Solomon Mahlangu House yesterday. We have it on record. They should go in. Hi, are you Kefense? Oh, good. Come with us. Here's a jail cell for you. That's called treason. Thank you.
It's problematic because on the one hand, you have the WITS SRC president saying this. On the other hand, you have the spokesperson for the university saying that students are calling for a vote because some of them genuinely want to go back to lectures. They all need to meet at some or other common ground here. It can't go on like this for much longer.
Well, I'm sorry, I've lost patience already. So I have turned 180 degrees from being in support of students last year, when mostly these protests were peaceful, when they went to the union buildings. They had genuine grievances. It was something we could all sympathize with. Now I've got to the point where I think these people are enemies of the state.
I think a lot of people who showed support last year have turned.
Yeah.
Because a lot of us did support the students in the beginning.
I'm reading a lot of stuff on social media. I don't want to sound like Donald Trump. I've see a lot, an overwhelming amount of opposition to this student movement, which has clearly gone perverse. It's gone crazy.
Yeah.
So there we go. All right, Ben's got some sport for us. Ben, what do you have to tell us this morning?
Wow, Gareth, football. You know that we always talk about the billion-dollar transfer market in England?
It's huge.
It's huge, and it's rife with corruption. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
But of course, where there's money, there's corruption.
Yeah, but this is where the story gets a bit spicy.
Right.
Central to all of this is big Sam Allardyce. Now, Sam Allardyce is the English manager, right?
Yeah.
So he has just been stung properly by this undercover investigation where these men posing as Far East businessmen,
mm-hmm,
who want third-party basic ownership of players. So there's, I won't get into it now because I haven't got enough time, but basically you can have a stake in a player. It's illegal though, but Big Sam is on record saying, don't worry about it, we'll get around it. I can show you how to flout the laws. And he's taking money and he's ripping off other people. And he is in big doo-doo right now. So let's see how that story develops today. Sam Allardyce. Ooh, ooh. Maybe congratulations in order. FIFA have put an end to racism in football. They've cured it, Mubs. It's done.
FIFA managed to do what nobody else on the planet has ever been able to do.
There's no more racism in football.
Oh, my goodness. I can't. No, let's give them a round of applause. Come on now.
Tried.
Come on, FIFA.
Yeah, all right. You could do it.
Well, I say that, but they've just disbanded their task force. So obviously they've cured it, right? FIFA has said, nope, our work is done here. We're disbanding our anti-racism task force.
It sounds too good to be true.
Personally, I think that's bollocks. I think this racism is rife. It's raising in countries rather than lowering. But FIFA are like, no, our work is done. Hmm. So that's enough of that for us. No more anti-racism. Yay, well done, FIFA.
It's all done.
Getting it wrong at every possible stage, you bunch of pricks. So, Champions League tonight. Dinamo Zagreb, they'll take on Juventus. All these games will be at 8:45. Leicester will be back in action. They've lost three times in the Premier League, but had a good start last time round in the Champions League. They'll take on Porto. Borussia Dortmund take on Real Madrid, which is the big game of the night. FC Copenhagen will take on Club Brugge. Monaco will take on Bayer Leverkusen. CSK Moscow will take on Spurs. Sevilla will take on Lyon.
Are you making some of these up?
Nope. This year around is actually the really respectable names. Last year was like names from Sesame Street and other places.
Wow.
And then Sevilla will take on Lyon. And then Sporting Lisbon will take on Legia Warsaw. Legia Warsaw. So that's what you look forward to tonight, football-wise. In rugby, it looks like Alistair Garcia could be ringing the changes. Malcolm Marks, Damien De Allender, and Loazi Involver all be released their Curry Cup teams to go play Curry Cup action. So if you do want to bet on the Lions hammering the Sharks this weekend. And Lambie looks like he's going to be thrust back into things, my buddy. Mm. Yes, I know you're wondering, with all his concussions, when is he coming back? Well, Springbok management seems to think he's fit, so it does not mean good things for Elton Junchi. So what I reckon is going to happen here, and this is general opinion, is that Mornay Steyn will start.
Well, I have much better...
Sorry, it was Trump trying to climb in on the action. He has much better sport than you.
Mornay Steyn will probably start, create a bit of a basis, and then Lambie will come on, and then Lambie will start against New Zealand. I think that's the plan. But more on that as it develops throughout the week. And golf, well, Davis Love is looking to make America great again. When you think about it, they've lost 6 of the last 7 times against Europe, right?
Uh-huh.
So this is it. This is the big chance. And with Arnold Palmer's passing yesterday, you got to think there's a big sentimental thing here. You know, do it for the king. Europe just need 14 points because they're current title holders. 14 points throughout the 3 days, but I don't see it happening. More about that as we get closer to the time.
Thank you, Ben. Anthea Gardner on the way with a look at the money. CliffCentral.com, TouchCentral.fm, where you need to be in the mornings to get it all. My face above the water. They've reworked this one, huh? How's that? That's a little something from Timo ODV. Hadaway. You like it? Don't worry about it. I'm not going to push you for an answer.
Okay.
I'm not going to be like Lester Holt with Hillary and Trump. Apparently, Trump interrupted Hillary Clinton 3 times as many times as she interrupted him. Excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me.
Yeah, but that's his nature. That's his personality type. He forces his way in.
All right, let's get into some money, shall we? It is time to check in with Anthea Gardner and see what's going on in the finances, not just of the country and of the general economy, but also the stock market and how that might affect you this morning. So if you are one of those people who occasionally pays attention to these things, but you want to pay more attention, we may be the people to help you. Just yesterday, we were talking about how we are busy launching this product, which you can get in on. It'll disrupt the stock market. It'll bring way more people into owning shares, people who've never been a part of that whole stock market experience before. Fractional share ownership for as little as 100 Rand. Better treat her right. Here she is. Anthea, good morning.
Good morning, Gareth. It was a bit of a slow day yesterday.
Slow day. It was also a very bad day by the looks of my board.
Yeah, it was a terrible day, actually. We had a real... We just had a slow bleed down yesterday.
You know...
I'm going to blame it.
No, if I think back to 3-4 weeks ago, I was riding high. I was up a lot compared to where I am now.
Absolutely. And yesterday's sell-off, I'm going to blame on emerging markets, though.
Okay.
Turkey got downgraded to junk status by Moody's yesterday. So the reaction wasn't nearly as violent as I thought it would have been. Bond yields were down only about 0.33%. Emerging market currencies slightly weaker. Our currency was slightly stronger on the back of it, but odd that. But the real pain came in emerging markets. That's where the problem... and the equity markets. That's where the real problem was lying. So, bless you.
Oh, thank you. I'm allergic to this emerging market nonsense.
I can tell.
Yeah.
Yes, and the markets really have been under a lot of pressure of late. people are really worried. They don't know where it's going to, how it's all going to pan out, where we're going to find growth. And then, you know, in developed markets, stories like Deutsche Bank. So Deutsche Bank was under pressure as well yesterday. So Angela Merkel said she was not prepared to put money into the bank to keep it afloat. And I'll tell you why, because they had that $14 billion fine imposed on the bank by the U.S. Justice Department. Deutsche, of course, have said that they actually don't need external funding. So it's a sad story. So first, Deutsche first listed on the German stock exchange in 1992 at about 27 euros a share, traded as high as 93 euros in 2007, so pre-GFC.
Uh-huh.
And then since the GFC, they really just have not recovered. Yesterday, they traded 10.55 euros, so way below the price they even listed. And so it just looks like it's kind of pricing to fail almost. And so I think markets are worried about that. You know, we all know what happened when Lehman went under. And so that a bit of useless information about Deutsche Bank.
Uh-huh.
They were the first company to list on the New York Stock Exchange after the September 11 attacks in 2001.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they listed on the New York Stock Exchange on the 1st of October 2001.
Huh.
And then in local company news also, like nothing, there's just nothing to keep this market higher. Telecoms were under a bit of pressure yesterday because ICASA said they're delaying the $1 billion spectrum auction to May from January.
Huh.
Vodacom had a late afternoon rally, like a late afternoon spike, and I'm not sure why. I'm guessing that the market is pricing, you know, in my opinion, Telkom, Vodacom are probably the most likely to be able to afford the spectrum auction or to be able to take advantage of it. So the delay in the auction should have been bad for Vodacom and Telkom. Telkom was down, MTN was down, but Vodacom had a slight spike in the afternoon. Very bizarre.
I think they're the only ones who can afford the auction, and I think that the other two are, I mean, the MTN's in complete disarray. We know that.
Mm-hmm. Although they do have cash. Well, it depends on how much cash they have now after cash. They have to pay their fine.
Mm-hmm. Right, but they're also pretty nervous at the moment because I don't think there's a huge amount of leadership going on there. And then we've got Cell C, who don't have the cash flow of Vodacom and MTN.
True.
So they're really counting themselves out of the bargain. So why the urgency? There's no urgency.
Yeah, I see the point, right? But by delaying it by 4 months, what are you doing? It's not like Cell C are going to suddenly find $1 billion to participate in the auction.
This is where this is what we went to Parliament the other day, among other things to achieve. We wanted lower data prices, which the networks are going to have to come to the party on. They've got a couple of days left on our clock to come back on that. And it's an opportunity for them to actually win over their customers instead of show hatred for them. And then there's the opportunity here that the government have to release some spectrum. Make it possible for these networks to grow and add better quality services to people. So there's a bit of both. We didn't go there to fight with the networks. We didn't go there to fight with government. We went there to propose to both of them that they can do what they're doing a whole lot better.
Yeah, so it's not great news that they're delaying this auction.
No, it's very annoying.
It is. And then more company news. On Sunday, there was a story in the papers about this Brigadier General Eggers from the SADF who had accepted bribes for tender awards in IT spend. So firstly, when I read the story, I understood that it was related to Pinnacle, which is an ICT company, listed ICT company. It was related to one of their distributors. And then yesterday, Pinnacle put out a SENS announcement saying that the case relates to an invitation to a sporting event they may have invited customers to, but were not expecting any special treatment.
Hmm.
The Pinnacle share fell 20% yesterday. But the problem is, I think, that there's
That's
history
quite a big
here.
Drop. What the hell's that? Could that have been related to the stupid sports invitation?
No. So Pinnacle, by putting out the SENS statement, are trying to distance themselves from this Brigadier Colonel Eggers, and because he took bribes and there's all sorts of allegations about properties and helicopter rides and game farms and all sorts. But with Pinnacle, the history with Pinnacle was that in 2014, one of their directors was arrested for taking a bribe.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think the association is just too close, quite frankly. That's the problem. And I mean, you know, I think it's fairly important to note that 40% of IT spend in South Africa, like country IT spend, comes from government. And there's always this issue about who gets the tenders and how it's awarded. And so, you know, the companies that we like, EOH and Adapt IT, you almost kind of, you have to worry a little bit about if there are any allegations like this. If Pinnacle is one of the recipients of fraudulent tender awards, then kind of how do the others do it? I mean, it's one that really worries me, actually.
Yeah, I think we all should be worried about this. Wherever there's collusion and wherever there is some kind of backdoor deal and where people can hide what's really going on, we should be very nervous.
Yeah.
All right. Besides all of that, though, did you pay attention to any reaction on the markets yet? Obviously, America hasn't opened yet, to the presidential election debate.
I'm watching carefully, actually. So the U.S. markets were lower yesterday. I'm very keen to see where the U.S. opens today. And I don't think there's any big fundamental news coming out. So there are no big companies reporting. So the reaction on the market today will be based on what was said last night. Mm-hmm. I saw a little bit of it, but not very much. I mean, it wasn't very impressive, this presidential debate. It was more funny than anything else, right?
Yeah.
And so the U.S. was lower last night, but that was the close before the debate. And then Asia's a bit mixed this morning, so no real reaction. No conviction either way.
Okay. All right, but we'll keep an eye.
We'll speak tomorrow.
Thank you, Anthea. Very good. Anthea Gardner, look at the markets. Hope you're ready for a good start to your day. Later on, Marianne Tam will join us for her new book. It's called Hitler, Verwoerd, Mandela and Me. Looks pretty damn interesting. Find out what Trump thought of Hillary's outfit. We'll take your calls. 0861-555-189. Good Tuesday morning. CliffCentral.com.